My name is Ken Storm, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
My name is Don McCaslin, and I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified in my place.
My name is Dale Ashlock, and I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
My name is Michael Weatherford. I believe that Jesus died, but is now alive and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Amen. My name is Wade Ivey, and I believe that Jesus is the one and only way to heaven.
My name is W.K. Roach. I believe that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
My name is Lance Martin, and I believe that I'm supposed to present my body as a living sacrifice to God, and this is my reasonable service.
My name is Lance Greathouse. I believe that I should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect in the will of God.
And my name is Tony Moore, and I believe that Jesus Christ Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord.
Where do you stand? For whoever is ashamed of me, Jesus said, and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with the holy angels. Today we're going to talk about standing strong, taking a stand in 2014. Letting the world know who you are. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God and learn how to stand strong? Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 6. Exodus 32, beginning in verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears. They brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose up early the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your precious word. For it is there that we find how to live, how to have a relationship with you. Lord, as we look to the new year, 2014, this old year has gone by so quickly. Lord, help us to take advantage of every opportunity to stand for truth and right. Truth, Lord, in your sight, not what the world calls truth and right, but your truth and right. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And we pray that your will be done in this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we live in an age where it seems like, and I've heard the statement made, it's complicated. Have you ever heard people say it's complicated? You know, I remember with one of my daughters, I'm so happy to have my girls and family in the services today. And I was talking to Andrea one day, and I can use you since you're here, darling. And I don't even remember what the subject was. But I was telling her what she should or what she should not do. And I was giving her fatherly advice. And her response to me was, "Dad, it's complicated." It's funny how children think things are complicated. It's really not complicated. There's right and there's wrong. Amen. There's God's way and there's not God's way. There's no in between. You can't ride the fence. And as you look at 2014, I want to share with you, it's not complicated. There's God's way or there's the wrong way. And 2014, my challenge to you today is to stand strong. God's way in 2014. In the text that we read about Moses and Aaron and the golden calf. And we start as Aaron faces that challenge to his faith, the challenge to right and wrong in his life. And it began with a demanding people. A people that approached Aaron demanding what he do. Now I want you to give you some background. And Moses had, at this point, had departed to be with God. He's gone up onto Mount Sinai. God had called him there to receive the law of God. And in verse 16, to build you a picture, chapter 24, verse 16, it describes the scene. Children of Israel are at the bottom of Mount Sinai. Moses has gone to the top of Mount Sinai. And on the top of Mount Sinai, the glory of God rested. If you want to know what it looked like, if you want to know what the children of Israel were seeing while they were at the bottom, it says in verse 17, it says, "The sight of the glory of God was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." So as we go, don't get the idea that they didn't have any guidance or any inspiration whatsoever. All they had to do was look up to see God. Okay? And so, in verse 24, Moses, chapter 24 and verse 14, Moses, just before he left, instructed Israel on what they should do in his absence. And what he said in 24 and verse 14, he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them." So Moses is gone. He's put Aaron and Hur in charge. And Moses has departed to be with God. And Moses, since he departed to be with God, Israel decided to depart from God. Moses is, in the text that we read, Moses has been on that mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And they've not heard a word from Moses. As I said, they can look up and see the glory of God burning like a consuming fire on top of that mountain. And they know Moses is up there. But they have not seen the face of Moses. And so what happens, they become somewhat restless. And they gather together, the text says, to Aaron. And it's a little weak in the text that we read. It says they gather together to Aaron. Literally, the idea is much stronger. It's they assembled against Aaron. Okay? You have a right, you know, next best thing, an organized advocacy group who are now approaching Aaron and going to make a demand. They are a group on a mission. And what they do is they demand, as they approach Aaron, a new God. They tell Aaron, "Make us gods that shall go before us." We don't know what happened to Moses. Now, I want you to also understand that text, okay? It's not, "Aaron, we think it might be a good idea if we have some more gods. We're just not sure what's going on with Aaron." That's not the way of the request or the demand that they made in the Hebrew was an imperative. It's like me looking at you and saying, "Listen, I don't know what's going on with Moses, but you're in charge and you are about to make us a god. Don't have a choice. I'm not asking. I'm telling you what you're going to do. So that's the way they approach Aaron. And, you know, kind of back him into that corner to that point where you feel like, oh, there's just not much else I can do. I don't have a choice. And that's what Satan often does, isn't it? Backs us into a corner where we feel like, well, I have no choice. As a matter of fact, I've heard people make that statement before. Well, I just did what I had to do. Bottom line, goes back to it being simple. There's God's way and there's the wrong way, right? And you always have a choice. But now Aaron has got to make a decision. And the problem with Aaron is this. He's divided. Book of James, we're told a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, he hadn't come up with the idea of when he's challenged, this is what I'm going to do. And we look at Aaron's and the responsibility that Moses had given him. Okay, remember Moses said, if you have a problem, I leave Aaron and Hur with you. These two men were two good men. That's why Moses left them in charge. They were mature enough to make good decisions. They knew enough to make the right decisions. So Moses had entrusted an entire nation in their care. But now it's crunch time. Time to put into practice what they know. Time to decide. How am I going to live? What am I going to do? You know what Aaron's response was, of course? We don't have to guess very long. Verse 2, as they demand of Aaron, make us a god. Aaron just jumps right in and says, okay, bring me your earrings. Bring me your earrings that you're wearing, your children are wearing, your wives are wearing. Bring them all to me. And they did. And it says in verse 4 that Aaron molded a calf, or he made a molded calf. And they said, Israel, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Boy, this story just goes downhill in a hurry. Aren't you feeling good about this story so far? No. Not really. Not really encouraged at this point. But Aaron never said no. Aaron never even offered any resistance. He built the calf. Now they say, this is your God. And in verse 5 it says, he built an altar before it and made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now, you know, it gets kind of confusing at this point. Because he's just built this golden calf. And then he says, but tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now that word Lord is Yahweh, which is the one true God, Yahweh. Before, he's talked about gods, okay, which is idol gods. Two different words. I kind of get the picture that Aaron has caved as he's felt the pressure of Israel. Aaron has caved in and he's kind of feeling bad about it. You ever done that? You knew what was right. You knew what you should do. And you knew the way things should go. But you felt pressured. And so you caved in. And after you caved in, got to thinking about it, you feel kind of bad. Now this may be left to a little bit of interpretation on my part. I don't know. But I think Aaron was feeling kind of bad. And so he says, okay, yes, y'all have got this golden calf thing. We're going to have a real feast to the Lord, Yahweh God, tomorrow. Kind of try to ease his conscience a little bit. But you know, didn't work. It just turned out disastrous. Verse 6 says, the people rose early, offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and ate and drank, and rose up to play. That word play, it is a word meaning it gets really out of hand. Actually, what had happened here was, and this is kind of coarse, but a drunken sex party. Okay? That's what's going on. People had thrown off all restraint because no one was willing to take a stand. That's the bottom line to this whole message. No one ever took a stand. 2014 is almost here. We can't do anything about missed opportunities of 2013, but this one thing I know. In 2014, your faith will be challenged. You will have the opportunity to stand up and be who you are in Christ or cave to the demands of the world. What are you going to do? You see, that's what I'm challenging you today to establish. What will you do? It's not complicated. It's not hard. It's very simple. There's the wrong way and there's God's way. What do you want the world to see in you in 2014? You better get ready because you're going to have the opportunity. 1 Peter chapter 4:12. I'm reminded, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Do you realize it is coming? Your opportunity to take a stand is coming. So what are you going to do when the world demands of you things that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt are not in keeping with God's plan for your life? What are you going to do? What are you going to do, young person, when your friends challenge you to go to this party that you know is no place for a child of God? What are you going to do when they call you a big sissy, guys? When you're offered things that you know do not belong in your life. But it's not just our children. It's not just our young ladies or young men. It's we as adults. What are you going to do when everything you say and teach and talk to your family is challenged and you have to make a decision? What are you going to do? Are you going to cave? Or are you going to stand? You see, most of the people here today know right from wrong. Amen? Most of the people here today have been taught. And most of the people here today, somewhere in this upcoming year, are going to have to decide, am I going to take a stand? And when you take this stand, understand, it comes, there are usually a cost involved. It is not easy. When you don't go along with the crowd, you just go way down on the popularity poll. It's not easy. Sometimes your friends, sometimes people you trusted, sometimes even family will turn their back on you because you stood for the truth. But here's a fact. Okay? Gather this. Here's a fact. Without proper visible leadership, the people will go unrestrained. And people will fail. You want to know what's wrong with our society today? And this is what I want you to consider. How would it have been different had Aaron said no? When they walk up to Aaron and said, Aaron, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to build us a God. And Aaron just said, no, I'm not. Would it have gotten somebody else? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe if Aaron had just said, no, I'm not going to do it. You can do what you want to. But this guy honors God. But he didn't. And so what happened? Total chaos. A lack of restraint. You see, that's the problem. You want to know what the problem in Washington is today with our government? The problem in Washington is there, right and wrong has nothing to do with anything. There are politicians who are testing the popularity poll. And if they think it's unpopular, they're not going to take a stand. I want to tell you something. Taking a stand is not popular. And I know, you know, America, United States, Facebook lit up with the Duck Dynasty guy, right? Lit up because he said homosexuality is a sin. Guess what? It's a sin. I have to admire his statements beyond that, though. He said, but we got to love them. And we do. You have to understand when you take a stand, it's not about crucifying people. It's not about condemning people. It's about taking a stand for what's right and loving people to the point that they will come over to God's side. Yeah? Jesus ate with the sinners. Did you ever notice? You ever notice that? Made the religious people mad because he kept company with the tax collectors and sinners. But I want to tell you what he never did. He never participated in their sin. Are you with me? Okay? As you live 2014, yes, we're in the world. Yes, we're going to have to be associated or part of people who do things that we do not agree with. But listen, beloved, you do not have to join them. Take a stand. Let them see what God looks like in a changed life. Young people, don't be dumb. You know what your friends need. You say, Brother Doug, you don't understand the pressure. I understand. I was young once. You know what your friends need? They need to see a godly teenager. Oh, Brother Doug, they'll call me names. Let them. Let them. Love them anyway. Adults, you know the people that you work with, you know what they need to see? They need to see a godly adult. Take a stand. Stand. You see, I wonder, could it have been different if Aaron had just simply said no? No. I dare say it would have. You see, we got to decide. A decision has to be made. And Aaron didn't get it this whole way through. If you read more, Aaron was in denial later part of this chapter when Moses come back and Moses said, what did they do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon this people? You know what Aaron said? Aaron said, that's like 20, verse 25 or so. He said, they demanded me to make them a god. So I took them earrings and I threw them in a fire and poof, out come the golden calf. He didn't say poof. But the rest of it is just a quote. He did. I threw the golden earrings in the fire and a golden calf came out. Right. Right. What a weak excuse. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Moses, it's not my fault. Oh, yes, Aaron, it is your fault. You didn't take a stand. And the people were unrestrained. As a matter of fact, that's what Moses says in the latter part of this chapter. Aaron did not restrain the people. All it would have took was a no. Does it make sense? Are you with me? All it would have took was a no. How often do we feel pressured? Today I want to challenge you. Decide. We must decide. Moses, in the latter part of this chapter, he stands at the entrance of the camp and he says, whoever's on the Lord's side, come to me. Time for y'all to make a decision. Whoever's on God's side, come to me. Now, after they made their decision, there was a lot of them did come to Moses, and so they sent the Levites through the camp, and a bunch of people died that day. But he put them in a position to make up their mind once and for all. Have you ever looked at the armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6. You know what that's about, right? We talk, you know, lesson after lesson. But you know what the bottom line to the armor of God, putting on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and you know what the bottom line is to that? If you look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to... What? Let's do it one more time. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, all that stuff is talked about in the armor of God. It's so you can stand. Not so you can fold like a spineless weenie. Yeah? So you can stand. And it didn't stop in verse 11. Verse 13 says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Withstand. Well, let's sound like we mean this, okay? This is the Word of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to
stand.
There we go. That's, do you see? It's all about standing. Standing up for God. Letting God's way rule your life. Not people. Not popularity. And it doesn't end here either. Verse 14 says... Oh, I'm losing you again. Verse 14 says... Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know? All about standing. The shield, the helmet, the everything. It's all about standing. We're living in an age where we're forgetting that Christianity is not always easy. Where are you going to be in July of next year? When everybody has forsaken the church to spend July and August at the lake, where are you going to be? I'll tell you, there will be some who take their stand at the lake. Now you know, and I've told you before, we all take vacations, and I understand that. But listen, God's work don't quit during the summer. I'm enjoying this way more than y'all are. I can tell. Take your stand. Stand. Where are you going to be this year when somebody in the church says something that hurts your feelings? Where are you going to go? Stand. Stand your ground. Satan may use me and my big mouth to say something that disagrees with you. Don't cause a big stir. Just say the preacher don't know any better. I love him anyway. Stay where you are. Stand. I've known people who are out of church today and will not darken the door of a church because of what somebody done to them. Listen, their problem is their weak need as a child of God. They didn't tell Satan no. Stand. Stand on the outside. In our community. Stand with the love of God. The words of the psalmist. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Oh, listen, my friends. My goal for victory in the coming year is that the city of Russellville will know what the people of Victory stand for. And that is our awesome God. I don't want to be a country club. I don't want to be a people pleaser. I want to be a place where people come here, they know they're coming into the presence of God. I want to be a place where the truth is taught in our Bible study classes, and the truth is always preached, and a place where people know those people at Victory are serious about God. Like I say, I'm not talking about being condemning. You know, some people think taking a stand is condemning. There's that church that... They're not a church. That's that group from up north somewhere. I forgot now who... And I don't pay attention to them because when I do, it makes me mad. that group who attends the and pickets the veterans' funerals. Old Doug Hambrick says, I've got a group of boys that know what to do with people like that. Amen. But, I should have said that. Oh, never mind. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, but anyway. Boy, that just completely derailed the train. That's not standing, what those people are doing. Standing is being strong enough to say no and love the people anyway.
Amen.
Okay? No, that's, I disagree with that lifestyle, but I want to tell you something. God loves you even though you're in that lifestyle, and so do I. No, I don't do drugs, but I want to tell you something. God loves you just even though you do. And God's calling you to repentance. He's calling you to a better life. No, I don't drink. I'm not a drunkard, and I don't spend my Friday nights at wild parties, but I want to tell you something. I serve a God who loves you even though you do. And because He loves you, I love you too. See, there's a difference. There's a difference there. You can take your stand and love people. But take your stand. I want to ask you, where are you today? Where do you stand with God? Number one, are you saved? If you've never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, where you committed your life to Christ, we have the promise of God's Word. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never called on the name of the Lord, you're not saved. It doesn't matter if you come to church. It doesn't matter if you're religious. Have you cried out to Jesus, the Son of God, for salvation? If not, you need to be saved. Start your walk. Take your stand today. Come forward in this invitation. I ask you another question. Maybe you're saved and you know you've been saved. You know you've committed your life to Jesus Christ. But you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Do you realize that's your first stand as a child of God? That's your first stand. You go up there and you identify with Christ in the baptistry as you're laid back representing His death, burial, and as you're lifted up out of that water representing His resurrection, and it's representing that change, that old man dying, and you rising to walk in newness of life. But the bottom line is this, when you're baptized, you're telling the world, I belong to Jesus. Amen. Have you taken that stand? If not, why not today? Why not today? Why not today? Maybe you're here and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. Why not start the new year right? Take your stand. If this is where the Lord wants you, then this is where we want you. You come on and let's serve the Lord together, standing arm in arm, faithfully serving the Lord. But when we come to this invitation, take your stand for the glory of God. Maybe you just need to spend time at the altar because your relationship with Christ has slipped over the last year. Take your stand up here on your knees. Whatever your need is today, would you respond to Jesus? Heavenly Father, help us. Help us, Lord, that we take our stand for your honor, for your glory. Stand that would be in accordance to your will. Help us, Lord, to be strong enough in your strength to stand for the truth. In Jesus' name I pray.